New roadblocks are scheduled today on Highway 70, 54 South, or 380. For the latest roadblock information, call 575-678-1178. Tonight's forecast is calling for mostly cloudy skies, 30% chance of continued snow. Alamogordo, low of 32. Cloudcroft, low of 23. For tomorrow, mostly sunny, becoming partly cloudy. In Alamogordo tomorrow, high of 51, low of 31. For Cloudcroft tomorrow, high of 42 and an overnight low of 27 degrees.
Happy holidays from your friends at the Winter Circle.
The Outfitters of Champions in Alamogordo since 1970.
We're thankful and grateful for the many years of support.
We wish you and yours a very Merry Christmas
and a Happy New Year. The Winter Circle,
1201 10th Street,
in the heart of Alamogordo.
437-9373.
New year, new ride. Start 2026 off in the driver's seat with OFCU and Alamo Ford's end-of-year blowout sale. From December 26th through the 31st, celebrate the countdown with vehicle loan rates as low as 4.74% APR. But don't wait! The clock is ticking! Visit Alamo Ford or apply with OFCU before the year ends. All loans subject to credit approval. Other restrictions may apply. Federally insured by NCUA. This is the Roundup on Alamo Sports and Talk, 1230 AM and 101.9 FM. Going from the Tularosa Basin and beyond, this is your local connection to the world of sports. From high school to college and to the pros, we cover the latest news and the biggest stories. And don't forget, this is your show. Change the topic anytime. Call us at 437-1230. The Roundup starts right now.
Welcome into the show. You're listening to Roundup here on Alamo Sports and Talk, 1230, 101.9. I haven't done this very much recently. What did we have? One show last week, I think. This week we'll have more. We got a show today. We should have a show tomorrow. I think Wednesday we won't have one. Or Thursday. And then Friday, I think I'll be here. I'm trying to remember if we got bowl games. I know Wednesday, Thursday, we've got college football covering us up. So, anyhow, if you want to call into the show, 437-1230, always happy to hear from y'all. Do want to mention first, Alamogordo boys basketball playing hoops tonight. You're going to want to go to the KSVP TV YouTube channel, and you can watch the game there. We're not going to do the radio broadcast today, tomorrow, or Wednesday, so just a heads up. And I think if you go to Hobbs America, you search that on YouTube, you can watch the Alamo girls game at least tonight. As far as the rest of the tournament, I don't believe they're streaming the whole thing. I did see that they had the Artesia game, but that's because the Artesia folks went over there and did that. So, yeah, you'll have to look at it and see. But as far as I know, I think it's just the one, I believe. So, but, yeah, just a heads up on that in terms of our radio broadcast of Alamogordo boys basketball. Just want to give you a heads up. As far as I know, things are, you know, I know the weather's been kind of rough for, I think, southeastern New Mexico. I don't believe there's, I believe the teams were able to get there. So, just a heads up on that. We got a few things going on this week. You've got the two tournaments that I mentioned. Alamogordo boys are at the Pocorn Tournament in Roswell to take on Goddard at 7:30 tonight. The Alamogordo girls are at the Hobbs Holiday Tournament. They'll play the Hobbs girls at 6:15 this evening. So those are two things that are happening. Tularosa boys and girls basketball. Or just the boys, rather. No, boys and girls. Okay. Yeah, because the boys play at West Las Vegas on Friday and then at Robertson on Saturday. So they'll spend the night up in Las Vegas. Thule girls will be at home on Saturday as they host Magdalena at 12 and 1:30. The Cloudcroft and Mescalero boys are both off till next week. So they don't have anything further. No Alamo wrestling, no Alamo swimming this week. So there's a few games, not a bunch. Alamo boys will play again on Saturday. The boys will travel up to Española, and that's a new game on their schedule that wasn't on the, I would say, original schedule for the Tigers, so just a heads up on that. Girls will play the three games this week, and then they'll be off till next Tuesday. And, yeah, I just want to double-check on Cloudcroft, make sure something wasn't added, yeah. I think both teams play Eunice next week. That's their, or no, actually the girls don't play Eunice next week. Girls, I think, are at the JAL tournament next week. Boys will play Eunice next week. And then Mescalero Apache boys made it all the way to second place at the Striking Eagle Native American Invitational. Over the last few days, they were played Monday against Alma Navajo, got a win there. Then they beat, I think it was Rough Rock from Arizona on Friday. They lost to Theroux on Saturday. And so, overall, pretty solid result for them. They were able to grab a couple of victories, and then they get off till next week until Monday when both the Mescalero Apache boys and girls take on Ruidoso. So that's where we're at with all of our area teams. And like I said, you can, I think, view both the Alamogordo boys and girls games on YouTube tonight. And then as far as I know, the Alma boys games, they both should, the Thursday or the Tuesday, Wednesday games are both up on that KSVP feed Tuesday, Wednesday as well. But we'll keep you up to speed, make sure you know what's happening with all of that. But good way to keep up with what's happening there. Let's see, do we have any rankings out? So those popped up today, as a matter of fact. So let's see, this is, I think, man, girls 2A or boys 2A? This is, yeah, girls 2A. Mescalero Apache's at 20. Cloudcroft is at 22 currently. And certainly hoping to show some improvement as we get into the new year. I think both teams have got some eyes on making it to the postseason. That's for sure. So we'll see if they're able to do that. In Class 3A, Tularosa's at 10. District opponents, Dexter at 8. Ruidoso's at 15. And yeah, I think Nimi is, for some reason, still not listed on there. Even though I'm fairly certain they've played 5 games. For some reason, they're not showing up on there. They will eventually. I know that much. And then in 5A, Alamo girls are at 17. So they're right there on the cusp. A couple of wins at the Hobbs tournament could certainly be a big bonus for them. You know, Hobbs is going to be super tough. We, you know, they struggled with them the first time they played them. And you'll see if they get Eastwood or Piedra Vista. Other side of the bracket has Albuquerque High and Mayfield, Farmington, and Americas. It's a pretty loaded tournament. A lot of really good teams in there. I mean, that bottom side, Farmington, Mayfield, and Albuquerque High. I don't know a ton about the El Paso teams in the tournament, but I would assume it's a tough, tough tournament across the board. So if Alamo can grab some wins out of there, that'll be a big bonus for them, without a doubt. So we'll see what they can do there. Alamo boys, they at Goddard today. Albuquerque Academy and Oregon Mountain are playing just before them at Goddard High School. Roswell's hosting Roswell and Deming, Palo Duro out of Amarillo, and Lovington today. So those games are happening split between Roswell High and Goddard High School. And I believe they have girls games that go on in the daytime. Maybe I think they call it something different. It's not the Poke Horn. It's maybe the Roswell Holiday Tournament or something along those lines. I don't have that bracket, so I couldn't tell you. None of our area teams are competing in it, so I don't got it. Just how it goes. Sometimes I can find them online, but if one of our area teams is not competing, I don't make too much of an effort. So The Alamo boys, meanwhile, rankings-wise, sitting at 11 in 5A. That's a pretty nice spot. And you know, here's another tournament where I think you look at the whole field and, you know, certainly good chance you see a district opponent, Oregon Mountain, possibly. I'd have to look and see how good the Albuquerque Academy boys are. Yeah, they're solid. They're 4-2 this year, so that would be sort of a toss-up on who's going to win that between Oregon Mountain and Academy. And then, yeah, I'll have to look at the bottom side. I mean, I would assume Roswell will beat Deming. And then, yeah, I don't know between Palo Duro and Lovington, honestly. But Goddard certainly, let's see where they're at. Goddard boys are 4-2. They're 8th right now. I think I'd kind of give the edge to Alamo. I think that's fair. Just classification, and I think Alamo's played a pretty good schedule up to this point. But we'll see. I think Goddard's, I think when you look at Alamo's schedule up to this point, better than Espanola Valley, probably better than Silver, but maybe not by a whole bunch. So, yeah. Probably not as good as Artesia, or yeah, they definitely have a chance to win a few games in that tournament over the next couple days. And this was kind of a, remember last year, this was a little bit of a turning point for this team. They had struggled going into this tournament, and they played pretty well overall. So we'll see how they do. But be curious to see what happens there. And real quickly, the other rankings up here on Max Preps. Let's check 3A. Tule's probably still in the top five. Yeah, they're 4th, only behind Santa Fe Indian School, St. Mike's, and East Mountain. East Mountain's unbeaten. St. Mike's is 5-2, and of course they have a win over Tule. And Santa Fe Indian School is 9-1. A lot of really good teams in 3A. Rodoso's 6, and Nimmie's 11. Dexter's 18. I thought Dexter was a little bit better this year, but very curious to see how 3A eventually goes throughout the season. Mescalero Apache boys are at 14, and the Cloudcroft boys are at 28 here early on in the season. So, but it's been a good start for the Mescalero Apache boys. In fact, they should have another win on their schedule. They don't have that win over the Arizona school in there. So they're actually at 6-8 compared to 5-8. But they've also played a pretty good schedule here early on in the season. Texaco, by the way, is number one in the Max Preps poll currently. That's where we're at as we go into the week. Again, Alamo boys have got 4 games this week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Saturday. Alamo girls, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Tule girls on Saturday, Tule boys on Friday and Saturday for basketball. And the only game that's happening here locally is the Tule girls game on Saturday when they host Magdalena. Everything else is on the road over the next few weeks, or next week or so. I shouldn't say few weeks, this week. So that's what's coming up. If you want to call into the show, 437-1230. More of the roundup as we roll throughout. I don't think we have anything else to touch in on locally. We didn't really miss anything last week. I think the only thing going on was Mescalero Apache boys basketball, which we told you about. Everybody else had last week off. And we'll get back to wrestling next week and swimming next week. Maybe the week after, actually, for swimming. But we're closing in on powerlifting season starting here in January. I think for most of the area teams, they'll get their first meets in, and then and it's going to be spring sports before you know it, y'all. It always works out pretty quickly, because tennis will start probably mid-February. Baseball and softball both have scrimmages mid-February. That's almost a given. Golf technically has already began their season. They were doing stuff in October. And then track and field probably will be that last weekend of February usually is when they get their season underway. So it's – that will be here very, very fast. Competition season for cheerleading, spirit, kicks into gear in January as well. I think there have been some competitions, but January, February, March tends to be the big ones. And then, of course, state is end of March, beginning of April for that to begin. So, yeah, it's definitely a lot that will be along very quickly. And then we'll be talking about, hey, the season's over and we're done with sports kind of thing. It's, yeah. That's, it happens quicker and quicker these days, at least for me. Because it feels like I was just in Albuquerque for state softball. And, I mean, that was almost a year ago now. I mean, 7 months, but still, it feels like that just happened for me in my brain for some reason. You know? Couldn't give you a good reason why that is, but it feels like it was not that long ago, honestly. But, yeah, not a whole lot else to touch in on, but I do want to mention one more time, no radio broadcast for the boys or girls games for Alamo basketball today, tomorrow, Wednesday. The boys, you can check those games out on KSVP TV's YouTube feed, and the girls, at least the first game, will be on the Hobbs America YouTube channel as well. So you can scope out those games with live pictures, and then after that for the girls – I don't believe Hobbs does like what Artesia and Roswell do with their tournaments, which is the whole tournaments they have on there, which I give them a lot of credit for doing that. So, and part of the reason why we're not doing the radio broadcast, because I know with a free option to watch it online and a free and easy thing to get to, most of you will go that direction, and I don't blame you. but yeah. So they've got, both the games going on. So the girls' part of the tournament is happening right now. So you can actually, Lovington, Oregon Mountain, and then Shiprock and Hope Christian. Those games are up on their respective feeds there. So one of my subscribes on YouTube for sure. They, like I said, those folks do a great job, and certainly give them a lot of credit for covering as much as they do. Very good deal. So, all right, let's see. Anything else we want to get to on the local side? I don't think so. We had a busy NFL weekend. Of course, college football, we had a bunch of games, but in terms of games that meant anything, we're still waiting on those. Of course, Friday or Wednesday night, we'll get the first of the college football semis. And then Thursday's the big day where we get three games. And so we're excited to get geared up towards that. That'll be fun. And then, of course, semifinals and finals to wrap up the season here before too long. I was reading something. There's been a lot of weird things going on with college sports. Like, there's a guy that was drafted and I believe scored points in an NBA game. Is going back to, I think he went, is going to Baylor. I can't think of the player's name at the moment. And I think that I was reading about a player in college hockey, a similar kind of thing where they had played some professional sports and were going to go back. And the conspiracy theory a little bit is that the NCAA is basically throwing their hands up and saying, hey, it's a Wild West right now. And the reason they're doing that is the hopes of Congress intervening. And I mean, just to make things more and more ridiculous, where I mean, even the average fan will sit there and go, all right, somebody who's played pro sports shouldn't be able to go back to college and play college athletics. And the NCAA is the one that can control this. And it feels like they've just taken their hands off the steering wheel because they lost some court cases a few years ago with the NIL stuff and have just, you know, letting it go. And it's like, you know, you could say they're going to complain about the state of college sports, and it's like, you're the ones who control it. It just, whether that's true or not, I mean, I don't necessarily believe there's somebody sitting there and making, you know, this nefarious plan, but I also have to say they're not doing anything to, I mean, kind of assuage those theories, because it feels like, you know, they've just decided to let, you know, anybody come back and play college sports if they've got some eligibility. I mean, it's, you know, guys like Diego Pavia are wanting to come back because they're seeing some of these players, you know, getting these extra years in other sports, you know, who have played professionally. And I mean, the big reason is a lot of these guys can probably earn more money and get more playing time at the college level, I guess. I don't know. It's messed up is what it is. You know? We're sort of losing the plot a little bit when it comes to, I mean, I don't want things to go back to where it's just completely amateur athletics, and because I don't think that's right either. But the regulation needs to be kicked up, and I'm really irritated by the idea that we need Congress to handle that. Doesn't the NCAA have the ability to make rules to restrict these kind of things? Anyway, let's go to the phones. You're on the Roundup.
Hey, it's Mark. How's it going?
What's up, man?
So at what point are you going to be able to play in the NBA or the NHL or even the NFL at some point and go back to college? I mean...
Yeah, I know. It's...
Because, like, I mean, yeah, you're talking about the hockey one. So, like, you know, we're talking about AHL, players who played in the AHL. So they're essentially the triple A of hockey that are went back to college hockey. So...
Yeah, yeah. And that's,
I don't get it. Like, I mean, I don't understand why the NCAA is approving this. So
it's, yeah.
And obviously Tom Izzo has the same concern. So
I think a lot of coaches do. I mean, and again, it's just, you know, there definitely needs to be a little bit of a I don't know what the right word is, but there definitely needs to be a little bit of common sense here in terms of, you know, when players should be able to, or set an eligibility limit in terms of years or age or, you
right.
know, a lot of things like that.
Well, I think what's going to eventually happen is that eventually you're going to have a – you're probably going to have a CBA for college athletics. I mean, and until then, this stuff's going to keep happening. Same with, like, the transfer portal and all the – out of control NIL stuff too.
Yeah, I don't know. It's an odd one for sure. Hey man, we've got a bad connection or something going on. I'm gonna take a break. If you want to call back on the 12:30 line here in a second, we'll chat about it a little bit more. But yeah, they're getting weird popping and stuff that's going on. So call me back. All right. Yeah, I don't know if that's on my end or if that's on. On his end there, because we were having the issue during the roundtable a little bit last week, too. So, all right, we'll be right back.
Tis the season of giving, and as your community bank, we're proud to have partnered with so many of you in 2025. I'm Deborah Romero, President and CEO of First National Bank. This year, together with our associates, we've contributed over $40,000 to local schools and nonprofits. And in the spirit of giving, our associates generously volunteer their time to strengthen and uplift the communities we serve. From all of us at First National Bank, happy holidays.
Member FDIC.
Looking to transform your home's exterior? Meet Rudy Ochoa. With years of experience in stucco, Rudy and his crew deliver quality craftsmanship and stunning flawless finishes. 575-442-6745.
All right, I think we got our issue figured out. So that you guys aren't having to listen to loud pops for those of you on the radio. I know Mark was having to hear it on his end as well. So. Yeah, I mean, when we talk about the NCAA stuff, I mean, I honestly, I don't understand who really has the power and control over anything these days. Do you know who has the power and control anymore?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I mean, I think eventually, as I mentioned, you're going to have a CBA, and I think you're going to eventually have, like, a commissioner. I don't know if that's a commissioner for each sport or just, like, you know, because I think I've said on the show, like, if there was to be, like, a commissioner of college football, Nick Saban would be perfect at that. And if you wanted to do, like, basketball, I think a guy like Tom Izzo would be somebody you'd look at. But I think eventually, you know, you're going to have a CBA and probably a commissioner for each sport.
Yeah, I guess my question is, I don't understand why these guys are being able to come back into college. Because I don't remember any kind of court case that had anything to do with eligibility of these players. And so I understood the NIL stuff, like the players being able to make money based off of their name, image, and likeness. And, you know, the other one was I didn't understand why they made the transfer portal the Wild Wild West either. I didn't think that was something, you know, that was something I haven't understood either, because that really didn't have anything to do with, like, the Ed O'Bannon lawsuit and all the other stuff that was going on, right? I mean, as far as I understand, that was just a decision the NCAA made.
By the way, there was a great E60 story by Jeremy Schapp yesterday. It called it Pay for Play. And it was about, like, the person who created the transfer portal. And, of course, it was never intended to be what it was today, where players can just transfer every single year. But yeah, really, really good story. Just kind of gave insight on what college athletics, you know, has become. So, and, you know, where the players are going. You know, kind of really talked about, like, they talked about, like, the impact of mid-majors. Like, they interviewed NIU's football coaches about how, like, after they beat Notre Dame last year, he lost 34 of his players. And I think especially for, you know, the schools down there, it's like, that's the issue, is that you have these mid-major teams, and you build a good team, they end up leaving because they're getting offered more money or, you know, by a bigger school or something.
Yeah, and I guess what I would say is, and we see guys that are going to a different school like every year, and it's like, this can't hold. And I think I said it a few years ago, I think we need to let it go for a few years to see how it works, kind of like I've talked about with the college football playoff. You know, I don't think we need to change it every single year. I think leaving it at 12 for, you know, maybe five more years would be the best idea, and then decide to switch it up. I guarantee you that's not going to happen, by the way, but I think that would be the best idea, just to kind of know the things that we don't like and the things that we do. I think we've seen enough of the transfer portal stuff to know that this is not good for college athletics in the way that the guys are able to transfer so much, you know.
Right. And not only that, but it not so much the big schools, but think about, like, for mid-major coaches, it's like you could have this great team and then half your team leaves and you can't rebuild it, you know, through the transfer portal or with high school players, and then eventually it could cost you your job because, you know, your team performance went down when that really is not your fault. So
Yeah. And I sort of feel like, at minimum, when you come out of high school, when you sign your NIL, both the school and you, I think it has to be a minimum of 2 years is what I feel like. So it can be a redshirt year and a freshman, you know, a redshirt year and then a, you know, redshirt freshman year, something like that.
Right.
That's fine.
I agree. By the way, I am all for athletes transferring because, like, you know, I'm just with a regular student who transferred schools, and I understand that sometimes it's not the right fit. So I'm totally all for transferring. But you're right, just playing for a different school every single year, that's a little ridiculous. So.
Or limit overall, you know, transfers in a college career. Like, once you enter an NCAA school, say, you get to transfer twice and that's it.
Right, or I'm okay with, too, I think the rule is, too, like, if your coach leaves or is fired, you're immediately in the transfer portal. Like, you can immediately go in the transfer portal. I'm okay with that because I totally understand a lot of times you're not committing to a program, you are committing to a coach.
You know what I would say is, though, I still would like it to be a minimum of two times, or you have to sit out a year like in the old school way that you'd have to do that. So I feel like chances are you go somewhere and your coach gets fired within a year or two, you're still going to have a, you know, a transfer credit, you know, and then maybe a second one in there. That's okay. But I think I think that's it. And then if you want to transfer again, you lose a year of eligibility.
You know? Right.
So
right.
I think
the whole like playing in minor league hockey and the G League and being able to go back to college, I don't understand that. Like, I first heard about that with hockey and it just didn't really get a lot of coverage because it was college hockey. But yeah, the first I heard about it was when Tom Izzo went off. Because it was somebody committed to, was it Baylor or something like that?
Yeah, Baylor's the most recent one. And there was also one of the Utah schools, I don't think it was Utah or BYU, it might have been Utah State, but there was somebody there that got a player that had either been drafted or had played, you know, professionally somewhere, and it's just like, you know, I feel like once you leave college and you play for what is a true professional team, whether it's in Europe or somewhere around the world, I just don't think you should be able to. And if you want to go back to college and be a student, that's fine. But to play sports, I just disagree with that.
Yeah, I agree 100%. There's a huge difference between playing even at a minor league level than college athletics.
It's like Chad Powers is becoming a real thing. You know
exactly.
It genuinely feels like that. This is actually happening, and NCAA is like, sure, why not? You know.
Yeah. I mean, I think when I heard Tom Izzo, he was just like, I'm just going to get Magic Johnson and Mateen Cleaves and all these other great Michigan State players to come back. Why not?
So. Yeah, I mean, I know Magic still got a year of eligibility, and Mateen might as well. I don't know. I mean, I don't think Mateen was. I think Mateen stayed till his senior year.
I think he played till his senior year. But
you also look at the fact the amount of medical waivers at times that the NCAA allows is insanity. You know, I feel for these guys and the fact that they get hurt, but it's like, you know, when you're in your ninth year of college and you're still, you know, getting a chance to play. I mean, I appreciate the stick-to-itiveness. I guess my other question is, what have you been doing for 9 years in college? And some of these guys, I think, do have degrees, but, you know, it's the old Tommy Boy joke of, you know, some people take 6 years to graduate college or 9 years, and no, yeah, they're called doctors, you know?
Yep. So, and there was one too, like the Jeremy Schaap one had said, you kind of touched on this too, that some players are electing to stay in college instead of going to the pros. There was can't think of her name, basketball player at Notre Dame. She would have been the number two pick in the draft, but she elected to go to TCU because she would have, she makes more money in college. So, of course, some of that is the WNBA.
Yes.
I think that they're still in negotiations with the CBA and they're trying to get more money. But you see that, you know, in all sports, that players are electing to stay in college because they can make more money in college.
I think the problem for me with a lot of that is, you know, it's because, on the men's side, when we talk about football and basketball, to me that means that you want to play against lesser competition because you feel like you wouldn't be able to make it in the NFL and the NBA.
True, but then you like a guy like Quinn Ewers, who went to go, he completed his time at Texas. I think he still had a couple years of eligibility left, but he went to go, you know, to the draft, and he got criticized for it, that he could, you know, like, he could make more money in college. Why is he going to the NFL? So, and, you know, right now he's a starting quarterback, so.
Yeah, at least for the moment. He had a pretty decent day yesterday against the Bucks. So, yeah. It's a weird place. And like I said, the biggest thing I have a problem with right now is, my opinion, I honestly didn't think my opinion of the NCAA could get any worse, but I feel like we're getting to that point. Because I've always thought that they were a joke when it came to them enforcing the rules back in the day when they actually, you know, claimed to enforce the rules and, you know, academic scandals or pay for play scandals and things like that. And now they've just completely said, we don't care. At least maybe that's not what's actually happening. They'll find some little, you know, intricacy, you know, thing that they'll decide to take somebody's eligibility away for some stupid reason. But we're going to let, you know, professional athletes come back in and play college sports again. It's like, gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. One other thing I called in about, I don't know if you touched on it yet, but, man, I feel for UNM fans. It has been the ups and downs. I think I told you, if there is a, I don't know if I want to say a blueprint, but, like, a great example of what can happen of a, you know, if a mid-major program has success, UNM is it.
Yeah, for those that may have not heard, Fernando Lovo, who is was in his first year as the athletic director at the University of New Mexico, is already gone. He's going up to Colorado to take over that athletic director position. And, of course, this is a year after losing Bronco Mendenhall as their coach. And, you know, it's – yeah, I definitely feel for UNM. I mean, they obviously made a good hire. You know, I'm sure they knew this was somebody that was going to be moving up the ranks eventually, but maybe just not after one season.
Yeah, I agree. So also don't forget Eddie Nunez, their old AD, is at Houston. So they've lost their last two ADs to the Big 12 in the past 2 years. So, and obviously Richard Pitino at Xavier now too. So, yeah, it's just, you know, obviously they've made a good hire with Jason Eck, and I don't think he's going anywhere in this cycle. Obviously he's going to be a really – assuming they continue the success, he's going to be a really big name in the next one. And I think his buyout now goes down because there was a clause in his contract that I think it goes down 50% if Fernando Lovo was not the AD anymore. So,
interesting. Yeah, I mean, listen, if he has another really good year at UNM, he wasn't going to be there for another
That's
season.
True.
Anyway,
he wasn't going to be there anyway. So, yeah, yeah, but I do feel for UNM fans. So. I know a lot of them on social media, and I totally get it. They're tired of being a stepping stone. But unfortunately, that's just the way mid-major programs are right now. I know NMSU fans have known about that too, you know, with a lot of their coaches going to bigger jobs. And unfortunately, it just happens when you have success at the mid-major level. I've seen it with my school too. So.
Well, and I mean, here's the thing I would also say is it's not new at this point. I mean,
right.
So it's been this is, I mean, this honestly has been going on since the 90s for a lot of these. I mean, I know for like UTEP, they had Don Haskins forever, but since Haskins, you know, anytime they've had success with a coach, whether it was Tony Barbee or Billy Gillespie, there was another one in there in that grouping that went on and coached somewhere else. The name's escaping me at the moment. You know, it's going to happen. I mean, for UNM, Chris Jans, I mean, technically Marvin Menzies, you know, went on to a bigger program, didn't necessarily have success there, but, you know, at least with the basketball program. You can honestly say that Jerry Kill moved on to a bigger program. I know he's
right.
Not the head coach, but.
Mario Bocha, before a lot of the controversies that happened at MSU, his name was getting thrown around for other AD jobs.
Yeah, and I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if he ends up somewhere at some point down the line. So, yeah, I mean, it's – honestly, I mean, I think if you'd ask UTEP fans, would they have rather had 1 year of, you know, what's been going on with UNM Athletics under Fernando Lovo and lose him, or kind of the average to bad that they've had under center over the last decade, they probably would pick Lovo.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, so, absolutely. So – yeah, but I mean, like, I hate to say this is like it's a good thing, but it's like it is a good thing because that means that you're doing something right with your athletic department because your coaches are wanted, your administrators are wanted by other programs.
Yeah, I mean, credit needs to go to the administration and making strong hires and, you know, making smart decisions in that way. So I mean, if you're looking at, you know, I guess it would be what the Board of Regents at UNM. Or, you know, same with, you know,
yeah,
MSU.
I think UNM's getting a new president, too. So they're going to have a lot of new, you know, a lot of new people in the new year.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's – and let's be honest. You know, Colorado's not a final point, you know, a final place for Fernando Lowe. If he is successful at Colorado, bigger schools will come calling for him. You know, the same goes with, you know, like Deion Sanders at Colorado. You know, if Deion were to really get that program up and going, either the NFL – or a big, big program is going to come along. So, I mean, I know for a lot of Lobos fans and Aggies and Miners, you know, feel like, oh, we don't want to like being a stepping stone. I got to be honest with you, with the exception of probably 20 to 25 schools in the country, everybody's a stepping stone.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we've seen for the bigger schools, sometimes it's professional sports.
Yeah.
So
it, you know, it's just a part. I know people like, oh, it'd just be nice if a coach stayed, you know, long term. And I think there's some cases where it does happen. And, you know, but.
Well, I think I'll give you this great example. So we've had this college football coaching cycle, you've had a ton of big name coaching openings. And of course, the question is, I'll just use Arizona State as an example. Like, a lot of people thought Kenny Dillingham would be a perfect candidate for Michigan. There was interest. The question was, can you win a national championship at Arizona State? But you can win one at Michigan. So it's like, is ASU a stepping stone for another program? So it's not like the mid-majors, the non-Power Fives, are the only ones that deal with this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I agree. I mean, I think you look at, especially with football, where are the places you feel like you can – I mean, if that's your goal is to win a national championship, outside of unless you really like that town that you're in, you really like that university as a whole.
Dillingham does. He's from there. He went to ASU, and that's why he's staying there.
Yeah. And, I mean, what I would also say is in this day and age, if you can get – people to donate to your school and if you can get people to provide more money, Texas Tech is a perfect example.
Yep.
Of you can win places where maybe it wasn't necessarily happening before.
So, but yeah, something else I didn't realize too, there's actually like a cap, I guess, on NIL that schools can spend, but some or most schools go over that to be competitive, which I didn't even know there was a cap.
Nah,
I just kind of thought it was like for lack of a better term, the Wild West.
Yeah, see, and there's another example of, I feel like NIL, the whole idea of it to me has been lost, because my thought process on it was that the school shouldn't be involved with doling out the money. It should be, if the player can go get a sponsorship, then he can make money, or she can make money on their name, image, and likeness.
And that's what it was originally supposed to be when it was introduced.
Yeah, and that to me, I was down for. With what we've got going on right now, where basically the universities are trying to raise money to pay these players, that's not okay to me. So,
now you're going to have revenue sharing too.
Yeah, it's... I know there's some people like, we need to go back to the way that it was. And I'm like, that's not the answer either. It's not, to me, it's not one or the other. There needs to be some sort of hybrid. What was that?
You can't go back to the old way now. No way.
No, well, and you shouldn't. I mean, with the amount of money that schools and the NCAA as a whole were making for a while there off of players who were not getting compensated, other than everybody's like, well, they're getting an education. And I think we've proven in this country probably over the last 10, 15 years that the value of an education is wildly inflated. The amount of money that people spend on student loans and things at universities is not worth the payout that they get afterwards for it, or the return in it, or the return on investment, is not there. So yeah, that whole, I roll my eyes at that, explanation of, oh yeah, that's more than worth than the money they get paid. And like, no, it's not. Especially when you look at some of the big-time stars out there. So,
exactly. Well, I'm sure you and I could talk about this for hours. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, it's just, like I said, my biggest frustration with it is I genuinely have no idea who's in charge when it comes to the NCAA and college sports right now.
Yeah, same here. I think it's fair. And I think a lot of people have been saying, as I said too, like, there needs to be a commissioner. And, as I said, Nick Saban would be perfect for football. Tom Izzo would be great for basketball if they wanted to go that route.
I think both those guys would probably be like, I'm going to go and enjoy my free time and not
have
to deal with
that. I think Nick seems pretty happy. I mean, he owns a hockey team now. So, I mean, he's a minority owner, but he owns a hockey team. Never thought I'd see that. Could you imagine? You could possibly see Nick Saban raising a Stanley Cup.
He doesn't. I mean, I guess he owns enough of the team that he could be one of those people out there doing that. I don't know. I still have negative feelings towards the Nashville Predators, so I don't want to see that happen. So,
yeah, they're not really popular in Chicago either.
I don't. that whole season, that 2017 year where the Penguins played them, I just, like, I don't feel that way about the San Jose Sharks. Like, I never, there was nothing about that Stanley Cup the year before that just irritated me about their fans. I thought, they're fine fans in San Jose. Something about Nashville fans that I just like, no. So, anyway.
Well, he could be the first. I don't think anyone's ever done this. Won a Stanley Cup and won a college football national championship. So,
well, this is true. I don't, not a whole lot of crossover there.
I don't think the Predators are anywhere close to winning a Stanley Cup, but you never know. So,
yeah. What is he, like a 2% owner or something like that?
Something like that. I mean, they obviously had a press conference for it over the weekend. And, you know, he just kind of said he's just, you know, obviously he doesn't know anything about hockey, so he's not there to, you know, do any personnel decisions or anything like that. He's just there to kind of talk about the process of, you know, winning and some of the stuff that they implemented at Alabama. And, you know, obviously, you know, let's be honest, when you buy ownership in a sports team, as we just talked about, it's, you know, you're expecting a return on investment, and that's something Nick Saban's a smart businessman, too. He owns a bunch of, you know, Mercedes dealerships in Alabama, and now he's investing in a hockey team.
Yeah.
While being in Vrbo commercials.
Well, not just Vrbo commercials. Goodness, he's in a million
commercials. That's true.
Aflac, but, and I think there's something else that he's involved in, too. So.
Yeah, but I agree. I do not think he would be a commissioner of college football. He seems pretty happy with what he's doing right now. And I think Izzo, I mean, I don't think he's going to retire anytime soon, even though there's rumors he is. He's probably just going to retire. I don't think he would be a commissioner of college basketball. He'd be good at it, though.
Yeah, I have. I'm sure he would be good at it. But, yeah, it's like I said, I think
I could see Tom being an analyst, like on ESPN or the Big Ten Network or something. But, yeah, he'd be good, a good commissioner.
I think I just resent the idea that Congress needs to come in and fix this. And I just, it's like, no. Number one, they've got more important things going on. But number two, the idea that they're going to fix it to me is kind of laughable. So,
yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Anyway, appreciate the call, man.
Yep. Take care.
Later. All right. Let's take a break. We'll come back. More of the roundup coming up for you right after this.
New roadblocks are scheduled today on Highway 70, 54 South or 380. For the latest roadblock information, call 575-678-1178. Tonight's forecast is calling for mostly cloudy skies, 30% chance of continued snow. Alamogordo, low of 32. Cloudcroft, low of 23. For tomorrow, mostly sunny, becoming partly cloudy. In Alamogordo tomorrow, high of 51, low of 31. For Cloudcroft tomorrow, high of 42 and an overnight low of 27 degrees.
Ryan Richardson Motor Company wishes the Tigers an amazing winning season. May your efforts match your dreams. Buy, sell, or trade late model cars, trucks, and SUVs. Financing available. Stop by for a test drive and score an amazing deal with Ryan Richardson Motor Company. 318 South White Sands Boulevard or online at ryanrichardson.company. That's ryanrichardson.company.
It's the KRSY Football Roundtable, year 38, with football picks and lots of fun, right here on Alamo Sports and Talk, 1230 AM, 101.9 FM. Five local business people making their best picks among high school, college, and pro football every Friday at 11 AM. The KRSY Football Roundtable is brought to you by RE/MAX of Alamogordo, Casa Auto Group, JBL Construction, USA Insurance, and Gateway Mortgage. The KRSY Football Roundtable, Fridays at 11 a.m. only on Alamo Sports and Talk.
Michael Shinneberry here. Join me for live and local discussions every Tuesday and Thursday mornings from 7 to 8 a.m. on Alamo Sports and Talk, 1230 a.m. and 101.9 FM. If it's local events, we talk about it. If it's politics, local, state, or national, we talk about it. Pick a subject, we talk about it. We're now streaming online at alamosportsandtalk.com. It's the Michael Shinneberry Show every Tuesday and Thursday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. only on Alamo Sports and Talk 1230 a.m. and 101.9 FM.
New Mexico small business owners, listen up. Resources are available to help you start, grow, and thrive your business. SSBCI 2.0 offers new small businesses the funding, training, and support you need to get your business off the ground. Have an established business but need additional funding and resources? SSBCI 2.0 is the place for you. Visit edd.newmexico.gov to get started. That's edd.newmexico.gov. Sponsored by this station and the NMBA.
Hi, this is Cambry Seiling, Executive Director of Kids Inc. Child Advocacy Center. Kids Inc. serves child victims and their non-offending caregivers by providing services through a comprehensive, child-focused approach in a safe, neutral environment. By bridging the gaps between law enforcement, children, youth, and families, prosecutors, and service providers during an investigation, Kids Inc. reduces the number of times a child has to be re-traumatized by retelling their story. For more information about Kids Inc., contact us at 575-214-2558.
You're listening to Alamo Sports and Talk, 1230, 1019. Got about 10 minutes left in the show for today. What do we got for sports today? Let's see the logic. We do have some bowl games, right? Or are we off until... Oh, there's one going on right now. App State's losing to Georgia Southern in the Birmingham Bowl. Totally knew that that was happening. Of course, you got Monday Night Football tonight, and a good one, Rams and Falcons. Or solid one, I'll say. Rams trying to keep pace. So let's see. The AFC East is locked up. The AFC West is locked up with Denver and New England. NFC East, Philly's got that. Chicago Bears are NFC North champs. And then it's just craziness in the AFC South and the NFC West. Because so going into that final weekend, we'll have likely the Rams and the Niners at 12-4 and the Seahawks at 13-3, and then, and who plays whom in that last weekend? Come on, there we go. So Seattle and the 49ers play each other. The Rams, I'm assuming, play Arizona? No, they play, yeah, they play Arizona. So they've got the easier of the games there. I guess the question is, yeah, if the 49ers beat the Seahawks next week, I think they can get all the way to the one seed, because divisional record, they've got the edge on both L.A. and Seattle. So if it's a three-way tie at the top, everybody's 13-4, San Francisco wins out of that whole group, which is pretty wild. And then, of course, whoever doesn't win that division drops to the 5 and the 6 seed. Crazy. Carolina and Tampa play each other for the NFC South spot. That's the one of the last two playoff positions to be decided. Pittsburgh and Baltimore, winner take all between those two as well on Sunday night. And still some things to be figured. Denver does not have the one seed locked up. They do own the tiebreaker over New England, so if they win this weekend over the Chargers, they're the one seed. Patriots, they've got the East. They could technically fall to the 3. I think if Jacksonville wins. Yeah, Jacksonville will have a better divisional, or not divisional, conference record, I believe. That would lift them past New England. So Jacksonville still has a chance to be the 2 seed. I don't know. Let's see. I wonder, Jacksonville might still have a shot at the 1. If Denver and New England were to both lose this weekend, I think Jacksonville can still get to the 1 seed, which is crazy. That'd be something we wouldn't have expected going into the season. Again, I don't think we expected Denver to be there either. So, and then Houston, L.A., and Buffalo could end up anywhere from, well, Houston and, or Houston could end up winning the AFC South still, because if they win and Jacksonville loses this week, Jacksonville's got Tennessee, though, so you'd expect them to win. Houston's got the Colts. Colts are out of it now after their loss yesterday. Yeah, I have no idea. Honestly, and then you look at, you know, what do we think is going to happen in the postseason? I mean, I just... I've said it all year long. Everybody's got their flaws. To sit there and feel like really confident in one particular team, man, good for you if that's the way you feel, because I don't see it. I think there's a lot of really good teams out there, but that are going to, you know, of those 14 teams, but you know, somebody that, that you know you would say is the legitimate favorite to win it all this year? I mean, you could take any one of those three teams in the NFC West, even though I would say I'm not sure how much I really believe in Seattle, mainly because of Sam Darnold. I just watching him play yesterday, he made so many mistakes that kept Carolina in that game. Just so many. I mean, there were at least two or three turnovers. I'm just like, if he makes the play or just doesn't throw the interception, and that would concern me in the postseason is all I would say. You know, you maybe can find a way to overcome it in the regular season. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to watch for sure. Let's see, NBA, anything nationally televised? Yeah, NBC's got games tonight with Cavs Spurs and Mavs Blazers tonight. That's good. Got some games there. College hoops. Do have some top 25 games going on. No really good games today. Yeah, the spreads on these are pretty crazy. Yeah. Illinois is beating up on Southern right now. Yeah, but everybody else, I think the only one that's below a 15-point or 20-point spread is Yale at Alabama. That's about it. Let's see. Women's college basketball got any? Actually, have some games going on. 17th-ranked USC at number 20. Nebraska is going on currently. 7th-ranked Maryland at home against Wisconsin. Maryland's crushing Wisconsin, though. Pitt's at Notre Dame today. However, Notre Dame's a 44-point favorite. That's a conference game, man. And they're a 44-point favorite. That is wild. Michigan at Oregon. That could be a pretty decent game. Whew. That's a little rough to be in a conference and to be that big of a difference. NHL tonight is on ESPN Plus, all the games. Doesn't look like there's any nationally televised games today, but there's a bunch of them that are going on. So you got a pretty good selection of things to enjoy today across the sports world. The Ravens say that Lamar Jackson's status against the Steelers is to be determined. The blame game with Notre Dame and USC is going back and forth. Lincoln Riley blames Notre Dame for ending the series. He says Notre Dame failed to follow through on its pledge to play the Trojans anytime, anywhere, in rapidly rejecting the school's proposal to continue its historic series in 26-27. Riley speaking Monday to reporters ahead of the Valero Alamo Bowl, and they find a way to continue the series. I think the thing was is that USC didn't want to go to South Bend. USC has wanted to play Notre Dame in all of its non-league games in the first few weeks of the season. Like most Big Ten teams do, the USC-Notre Dame game has traditionally been played in mid to late October at Notre Dame or at the end of the regular season at USC. Notre Dame on December 22nd added a home-and-home with BYU. Yeah, I don't know, man. There's a lot of back and forth on all of this. So, I don't want to say I don't care, but I also kind of like, well, you know, is what it is. Let's see, any other interesting. Oh, yeah. Baylor defends signing ex-NBA pick amid criticism. Scott Drew addressed it. The Baylor announced the signing of James Enagi. Hopefully I'm saying that. Enagi. And this is after he was the 31st overall pick in the 2023 NBA draft. Never played an NBA game. And he had been in FC Barcelona's organization since 2020. While two G League players committed to colleges in the fall. And Drew said, I just know they told us he can play, so I'm happy. Yeah. I don't like that. I don't like the coaches basically saying, I'm just following the rules. It's like, you either like it or you don't like that the whole situation. I don't know. You guys have a good one. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
You're listening to Alamo Sports and Talk, KRSY 1230 AM and K270 CS 1019 FM, Alamogordo.
Lose in the playoffs before you take that next step to the Super Bowl. But